You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here as today is game day. Tennessee's basketball team will play Colgate this afternoon. The Vols are scheduled to tip off at about 2:45. Tennessee will play following the Cincinnati-Iowa game in Columbus, Ohio. On today's show, in the first segment, you will hear from Tennessee basketball players. You'll hear from Tennessee seniors in the first segment, Admiral Schofield and Kyle Alexander, as this is their final run for Tennessee. If Tennessee loses, their time at Tennessee is done. They hope to go 6-0 to finish out their careers at Tennessee, of course. So you will hear from Kyle Alexander talking about that fact, that there is that sense of urgency to finish on as positive a note as possible, and Admiral Schofield on the experience that they've had as players and how that can help them heading into the NCAA tournament. In segment number two, Grant Ramey of GoVols 247 will stop by. He's in Columbus. He will help you get ready for the start of the tournament, talking about how Tennessee is playing and what the Vols need to make sure they do to make a run in the tournament. That's coming up in segment number two. And in the third and final segment, not good news for a Tennessee football player that came out on Thursday afternoon. I'll update you on that. And Jeremy Pruitt talking about the need to make sure guys take care of business this week, the off week during spring break, before getting back to work next week on the practice field. That's all coming up right here today on Locked On Vols, here 5 days a week, available for you on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vols. So Tennessee will tip off, scheduled at about 2:45 against Colgate. The game will be on CBS this afternoon, and the game will really tip off about 30 minutes after Cincinnati and Iowa, which will start today's action at 12:15. So Tennessee goes in as a big favorite here, 17 to 18 points, I guess, depending on where you see it. And the Vols should not have trouble against Colgate, but it is a team that shoots the three ball well, and I'm sure it's seen some things on film to say, hey, if we do this well on offense, we've got a shot here. There is the make or miss aspect. If Yale had hit more shots on Thursday afternoon, it might have knocked off LSU. New Mexico State had a shot at the end against Auburn. They fell short, but if another shot or two goes in, the last shot attempt was by New Mexico State, down one. It was an airballed three. So part of it is the make or miss. Tennessee needs to make it as difficult as possible for Colgate to make those shots. And that comes back to Tennessee's defense, not leaving shooters. And I think that Tennessee should have an advantage overall athletically. I would say a clear advantage over Colgate going in. But Tennessee can't take Colgate lightly either. I think that should go without saying, but I'll mention it here. Tennessee as the two seed is a big favorite for a reason. But there's also a reason you remember the 15 over 2 upsets, because they're more memorable and they can be even more heartbreaking for the team if you're on the losing end as the 2 seed. Rick Barnes this week talked about Colgate, what it is as a team, and what Tennessee should be paying attention to with the team that won the Patriot League.
I mean, they're good. I mean, you look at them, they're a very skilled team, high percentage shooting. They got great size. I mean, across the front, they're as big as we are, bigger. And well coached. They run. They're not afraid to push the ball. They run some ball screen stuff, different stuff out of that. They mix up their defenses, and you know, they can show multiple zone defenses, and they play man. But again, they wouldn't be here, and if they're not a good basketball team, but they're a very skilled team. I think they've got the player of the year. I think the freshman of the year on their team. They're just very skilled at every position. So again, you would expect whoever you're playing this time of year to know that you got to be ready to play, because, believe me, they're going to be excited to play, and we're going to be excited to play, so it should be a good basketball game.
Rick Barnes talking about Tennessee's opening round opponent, Colgate. Colgate does shoot a pretty good amount of threes, and their three-point percentage is really good. They're top 10 in the country. That number can fluctuate, of course, from game to game, but they're a top 20 team, I would say, percentage-wise, shooting the three ball, and Tennessee needs to make sure that Colgate is not on the high end of what it's able to do. So I think part of that comes back to the mindset, the focus, and that's why I wanted you to hear from Tennessee's seniors, what they had to say on Thursday, meeting with the media in Columbus. And Kyle Alexander talked about the fact that this could be it for Tennessee. They need to know that and realize for the seniors, Kyle and Admiral Schofield and potentially other players who have decisions to make, that they can't lose and have another game to get ready for at this point.
For me and Admiral, after this, you know, after all this is done, you know, we're done. You know, we're seniors and it's the end of the road. So, you know, the urgency is there because we're not trying to have this end anytime soon. You know, we're trying to be with this group as long as we can. So there's definitely a sense of urgency there. And I wouldn't want to be here with any other group of guys because, you know, I love these guys. So.
And remember, for Kyle Alexander, he did not get to play in the Loyola-Chicago game last season. He was injured in the opening round, tried to give it a go, and he just couldn't. I think that injury was worse than was just talked about at the time. He tried to give it a go and physically could not do it. So for Kyle, there is a bit of an opportunity at redemption here, at least for him personally, that he was not able to be out there with his teammates in that loss against Loyola-Chicago last year. Admiral Schofield talked about the experience that this team has had. These guys have played a lot of basketball together. That's why they have gotten along so well, and the chemistry has been built to the point that it is, because I think they genuinely enjoy playing basketball with one another. But they've had some highs, they've had some lows. Last Sunday against Auburn would be one of those. The last two weekends against Auburn, as a matter of fact. Admiral talked about making sure they stay locked in and those experiences, the good and the bad, helping them get ready for this NCAA tournament.
You can't change what got you here. And, I mean, just because you lose doesn't mean what you did was the wrong thing as far as process-wise. It just means that you didn't execute in the moment. So for us, it's just being able to adjust as far as, you know, it's really win or go home at this point. And, you know, we want to have a lot more opportunities to be together and play with each other. So for us, it's just being locked in for 40 minutes and focusing on each game that's in front of us and not taking any opponent lightly, but also respecting the game and playing with the passion that we know we all have and the love that we all have and having fun out there. So for us, it's just really being locked in 100% collectively on a consistent basis every night, every film session, you know, really cherishing every moment that we have in the hotel rooms and, you know, the free time that we have, but also understanding we're here on business as well. And, you know, we're here to accomplish our main goal, and that's to win a national championship. But can't do that without winning the first game and then, you know, the game after that. So we have to take it step by step and understand that this process is just like any other process. It's levels to it. It's steps to it. And we just got to understand that, you know, consistency and consistent buy-in and lock-in to the game plan and to each other is what's going to get it done this year.
Tennessee senior Admiral Schofield. The Vols get ready for Colgate this afternoon. Again, the schedule, about 2:45 is when Tennessee will tip off in Columbus, Ohio. Yesterday, the SEC went 4-0. Florida was pushed late by Nevada. That one got tricky there for the Gators, but Florida advances as a 10 seed. Auburn had a really scary final couple of minutes. It was not the smartest basketball, I would say, on either side from New Mexico State or Auburn. But Auburn survives and advances. LSU, as I mentioned, beat Yale, and Kentucky had no issues with Abilene Christian. The real question becomes P.J. Washington's status heading into the Wofford game this weekend. A good start for the SEC. The conference has to feel good about day number one. We'll see what happens day number two. As for the Cincinnati-Iowa game, Cincinnati is favored going in. It's the 7 seed against the 10 seed. I looked at Action Network's projections for Sunday. If Tennessee were to play Cincinnati or Iowa, Tennessee would be projected as about an 8-point favorite and about a 10-point favorite against Iowa. So either draw, I think, is pretty favorable for Tennessee going into the weekend. Not a guaranteed win, not by any means, but if Tennessee gets by Colgate, which it should, Tennessee should also be in a favorable position to get by either Cincinnati or Iowa into the Sweet 16. But it is the tournament. That's why you have to remain focused. That's why you have to play your best. And then you hope for some breaks as well. Thursday's basketball featured some ugliness, by the way. Not just the Auburn-New Mexico State ending, but the way that Yale shot the basketball was pretty rough. Same for New Mexico State at times. And as the day went along, Nevada, until it made its comeback attempt against Florida, that was pretty rough. And then the star of the day would be Ja Morant from Murray State with the big upset win over Marquette. He was incredible. First triple-double in the tournament since Draymond Green did it for Michigan State back, 7 years ago. So he was terrific on Thursday. Ja is a player to know. He's a top-5 pick in the NBA draft, by the way, so it's not like people don't know about him, but more are going to learn about him, I'd say, in the NCAA tournament. Belmont made a good run at it, but came up short against Maryland, so Maryland advances to take on LSU in the second round of the NCAA tournament. What does Tennessee need to do to not only get by Colgate, but try to make a run here in the NCAA tournament? You heard Admiral Schofield talk about the big goals that Tennessee has. I'll get to that coming up next here on Locked On Vols as Grant Ramey will join me. And remember, to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On Vols on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Vols. So I want to welcome to the show now Grant Ramey from GoVols247.com. Grant, thanks so much for the time. Grant's in Columbus covering what's going on with Tennessee. So, Grant, having spoken to players and heard from Coach Rick Barnes, can you read anything into this week's prep and how UT feels going into the start of the tournament?
I think they're kind of about level, even keel, I guess. Auburn game being what it was, I think that's over. And in the past, I think three games in 3 days certainly didn't do them any favors, and they came out and kind of got punched in the mouth after all that had went well against Kentucky during that final 3 minutes and how crazy everything was Saturday night. So you reset, you tip your cap to a pretty good Auburn team that's playing its best basketball right now. And the good thing for Tennessee, that kind of loss happened only a couple hours before the brackets got released, so it doesn't take long to move on from that and to focus on what really matters, and that's the NCAA tournament.
What do you think of the opening weekend draw with Colgate, the first opponent, and assuming Tennessee advances with a win, Cincinnati or Iowa? Thoughts on the opening weekend draw for Tennessee?
I think location, the draw was good, getting Columbus. I think that it was going to come down to Columbia, Columbus, or Jacksonville. If Columbia, you're going to be battling against probably the Dukes of the world. In Columbus, it's a pretty easy drive. I'm sure there's a lot of Tennessee fans in the state of Ohio. Colgate, in terms of team draw, Colgate, it's a 15 seed. They're a 15 seed for a reason. You should handle your business. There's a reason you're a 17-point favorite in Vegas against these guys. With Iowa and with Cincinnati possibly on Sunday, it's a couple tough matchups. Cincinnati's done some good things. I think they handled Houston on Sunday in the AAC championship, if I'm not mistaken. So that's a good basketball team that knows what it's doing. It's not going to be an easy matchup. But the good thing for Tennessee is they've been a team all year that's just kind of handled their business and won the games that they're supposed to win. If they've lost a game, it's usually on the road or against a team that's playing really, really good basketball at that time. So I would expect them to take care of business.
Do you think last year, showed Tennessee that it's not supposed to be easy? The first round here should be pretty easy against Colgate, a 15 seed, as you mentioned. But after that, Tennessee lost to an 11 seed last year. They went on to the Final Four. I wonder if that's some kind of lesson for this team, that just because Tennessee's a 2 seed, it can't take Cincinnati or Iowa lightly. Those are two pretty quality basketball programs, too.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a lesson. I think you should trust a team more coming off a loss like that, because of that was a very, very devastating loss for that basketball team. That was the most devastated locker room post game I've ever been in, just in terms of how much had ended on that last-second shot by Clayton Custer and Loyola, and just how crazy that game was. It was such a feel-good season for Tennessee last year, and all the ground they had covered from being picked near the bottom of the league to being a number 3 seed in the tournament, and it was over just like that. So I think they approached this tournament differently, knowing how quickly it can end, knowing how much work they put in this season, how much fun it's been for them. It could be over just like that if they don't take care of business. So I would expect them to be 100% locked in.
Grant Ramey, GoVols247.com. What is important in regards to how Tennessee plays, Grant, for Tennessee to be able to keep advancing through this tournament?
They have to take care of the basketball. That 10-minute stretch or whatever it was against Auburn was the absolute worst basketball they've played probably in the last two and a half seasons. It was awful. And Auburn is known for jumping passing lanes and being pesky defensively and fronting big men and not letting you get that entry pass in the post that Tennessee likes to get. So Auburn's not a real good matchup for them, I think. But in March, when you get to this point where you're playing a game, hopefully if you win, you get a day off, then you play the next one, you keep moving. You better take care of the ball. You better play pretty good defensively. And you better have some guys step up. You can't have too many guys go into a shell this time of year and expect to keep dancing. But if you can hold on to the basketball and you can play good defense, you can survive nights where you're not your best offensively. I think that's what they need to do.
What did you think during that stretch where Tennessee just kept giving the basketball to Auburn?
It was, I don't know. I mean, it was like we were all just sitting there staring at it, like, what is this? Who is this team? And Auburn made a lot of shots, and Auburn took care of their own business. They were, I don't think it's a 100% insult to Tennessee the way they played. I think a lot of it is a compliment to Auburn and the intensity and how they played the game. But it was just like they couldn't hold on to the basketball. Like, anytime they touched it, they were turning it over or doing something to lose the basketball. And I think they kind of started pressing when they got down a little bit and were trying to do too much individually. Everybody on the floor was trying to fix it themselves when really they just needed to settle down and get into their offense and do what they do. But, man, they couldn't do it at all.
Yeah, and with Tennessee going up against Auburn, part of the conversation has been don't play Auburn's game. Auburn wants to find opportunities to get out, run in transition, get some threes in transition as well. Tennessee's in a region that's pretty slow. There are a bunch of teams in there, of course, at the top, Virginia, but teams that don't play with a lot of tempo. Is that something that can be helpful for Tennessee? Because I don't think Tennessee wants to be in a game with a team like Auburn, as you've talked about.
No, they do not, and it can definitely be helpful. You're right. There's been a lot of people pointing out that Virginia, Tennessee, Purdue, Cincinnati, go down the list in the South region. It's not a lot of teams that want to play pace and push the ball and do what they do. And Tennessee can play. I think they can play pace. They've shown earlier this season how good they can be offensively and how much they can score it in transition. But, yeah, I think that's a fortunate draw where you're not really looking at one of those matchups like you were Sunday in Nashville.
Yeah, and every March we have the conversation – in college basketball, how do the guards play? So Jordan Bone, Jordan Bowden, Lamonte Turner, it goes without saying, but I'll mention it to you, Grant, how they play is going to really matter, especially Jordan Bone. When he's been at his best, Tennessee has seemed unstoppable at times this year.
Yeah, that is obviously guard play goes so far in March, and Tennessee is fortunate to have three talented, experienced guards in Jordan Bone, Lamonte Turner, and Jordan Bowden. If there's anything to take away from Sunday, as poorly as everyone played, Lamonte Turner scored 24 points and shot the ball pretty well. And that follows up on what he did Saturday against Kentucky, and he shot it pretty well against Mississippi State, if I'm not mistaken. So that's a big development for him. If he can play well, that's huge. And if Jordan Bone, he's going to be the guy. This team will go as far as he'll take them because you need that point guard play. And when he's playing well, this Tennessee team is absolutely a different basketball team.
Hey, and Grant, last thing I'll get you out of here. Grant Ramey, GoVols247.com. Rick Barnes wouldn't make this about him, not at all, and he's had plenty of success already at Tennessee, but I'll bet he's eager to get back to the Sweet 16. It's been a while. He's been to tournaments at Texas, but it's been a while since he's been to the Sweet 16, I think more than a decade. I'll bet he's eager to get back there and take another run at a Final Four.
Yeah, Rick is when he's in front of cameras and stuff, he's very measured and says all the right things and kind of is self-aware of everything that's going on. But he's one of the most competitive people I've ever been around. I mean, his mind, his brain is nonstop trying to think of better ways or ways to get this basketball team better, to make a better basketball program. And the next step for them right now and for him, like you mentioned, it's been a while since he's been out of the first weekend. The next step for him and this basketball team is to get to Louisville and get to that Sweet 16 and kind of erase and exercise all those demons from last year and move on and just keep winning basketball games like they've shown they can do.
Grant Ramey will be covering it. GoVols247.com. You can read his work there. Follow him on Twitter as well, at Grant Ramey. Grant, really appreciate the time. Look forward to your coverage this weekend. We'll chat again soon.
Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate Grant's time as always right here on Locked On Vols. Coming up in a final segment, some not-so-good news related to a Tennessee football player. I'll get to that coming up as we wrap things up here on the show. And quick request, if you have time to rate and review the show there on iTunes or if any of the other podcast apps take ratings and reviews, that's a big help to the show. Downloading, subscribing, rating, and reviewing. You probably hear that a lot. I mention it here quite often on the show. Thanks to everybody who has done that. And help spread the word. Tell other Tennessee fans about the Daily Tennessee Podcast. It's here 5 days a week. Welcome new listeners as well, as I'm here talking about what's going on with UT football, basketball, and Tennessee athletics on Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. News came out on Thursday that Tennessee defensive back Kenneth George Jr. is facing four charges after he was arrested Thursday morning on allegations of punching a Miami Beach police officer. George is facing charges of battery of a police officer, resisting an officer with violence, resisting an officer without violence, and disorderly conduct. The first two charges are third-degree felonies. The other two are misdemeanors. Tennessee is currently out on spring break, so the Vols have a week off here in between their 5 weeks or so of work during spring practice. As I read from KnoxNews.com, an officer responded to a call and saw George walking in the street's westbound lane, according to the arrest report. As the officer exited his vehicle, George yelled profanities at him, according to the report. George ignored the officer's commands and walked toward him. The officer steered George toward the sidewalk and away from officers who were attempting to arrest another person. George punched the officer in the head and knocked his radio from his hand, according to the report. The officer tried to arrest George, but he fled, the report states. The officer and backup officers provided chase, and then two officers stopped George and arrested him, after which the report states, George said, "He hit me first. Why can't I hit him back?" The report goes on to say that the officer was treated and has since been released. He is expected to make a full recovery. That's not a good situation for Kenneth George Jr. He did not play much this past season. He was hoping to have a bigger role this upcoming year in the defensive backfield after dealing with injuries during the 2018 season. He transferred in to Tennessee from Trinity Valley Community College, was a part of the 2018 class that Jeremy Pruitt put together. We'll see what happens here, but obviously this kind of situation, a couple of felony charges and the allegation that he punched a police officer, is not going to go well. This is what Jeremy Pruitt said. Now, the conversation was not as much about off the field as it was just general taking care of business and dealing with the break away from practice, but Jeremy Pruitt last Friday, when he was asked about taking a break in the middle of spring practice.
I mean, it's when we chose to do spring break. So, you know, we got five good practices in. We'll go back, and next week we'll have four more, and we'll have a scrimmage on Saturday. So we'll see what guys retain from having a little bit of time off, which I think our guys will do a good job with that. We'll see next week, and we'll just see where it goes.
So a lot of it is see where guys are physically after taking a week off. And guys are still working out, at least they're supposed to, I'm sure, and making sure that they maintain things physically and then see where they are mentally, getting back out there on the practice field. Practice number one could be rusty, but this situation with Kenneth George is not good, and we'll see if he returns to Tennessee's football team ever. This could do it for him, depending on how things go with the legal process. So that's the Tennessee football news. Jeremy Pruitt did not want that to close out the week. They'll be back to practice early next week, and I'll have more Tennessee football talk. Taking a closer look at the roster as well, had a good question about guys who were able to play some this past fall, but also maintain their redshirt. Players like J.J. Peterson and Kingston Harris and Karat Garland, how they might have benefited from that. So I'm going to get to that next week on the show, and there will be more Tennessee basketball as well. We'll see on Monday. Does Tennessee season continue? My expectation is that it does. I think Tennessee should easily get the win against Colgate and then should be able to get by Cincinnati or Iowa. If that doesn't happen, well, it would be a really disappointing finish. I think that Tennessee will advance. We'll find out after Friday's games when Tennessee will play Sunday, again, assuming that it gets the win against Colgate, and I'll be back on Monday to talk about it. 5 days a week, Locked On Vols is here covering what's going on with UT. Enjoy basketball today and this weekend. Thank you for being here on the show, and I'll see you here Monday.